Well, good morning, folks. Welcome back. Happy Friday. And we are going to talk about what's going on in the world. And hopefully we will have another member of the group here join us today for the first time. Not necessarily the first time on Hebrew Nation, but the first time here on the Drive Time Friday show. But as usual, we're having a little bit of trouble getting him to connect. So we'll see if we can't figure that out. I don't blame the I blame Skype because that's usually the safe bet. In any case, I will say good morning to David Justice. He's back with us. And how are you doing, David? We'll talk about what's going on in just a second.
Oh, I'm doing as well as a guy could do who has his eyes open and watching the world melt down all around us while having a love for truth and an understanding that this was inevitable because we've lived inside of a narrative for so long and now they can no longer sustain it. And it's on one hand, it's very comical. If it weren't so tragic, I'd be laughing. But it is tragic, and so I cry and I laugh. I laugh and I cry. Laugh and I cry.
Well, it's tragic for a number of reasons, and there's no shortage of stuff that's coming to a head this week as well. So, let's do this. Let me ask. Do you have a particular place you want to start off today? I know Jeff had a couple stories he wanted to kick things off with, but we'll get to those in a minute.
Well, you know, one thing, Henry Kissinger died this week. I've always been fascinated that this man is so much a part of the political establishment. He made a comment on his deathbed that Germany had made a grave mistake in allowing so many migrants into the country. So here he comes out and admits that this multiculturalism is a complete and total disastrous failure. And it is, and, you know, the sooner that we recognize that and the sooner we realize that this is a planned strategy to unite the countries based upon crises and the need for more government, the sooner we'll really understand the big impetus, the background, the motivation as to what's going on the planet. Go ahead, Mark.
Well, okay. I noted his passing and decided that, you know, as my grandma used to say, if you don't have something nice to say about somebody, don't say anything. So I simply said no comment because anything I would tend to say would not be real complimentary. I was never a big fan of the guy for a bunch of reasons, and that's putting it real mildly. Mm. On the other hand, I did see the comment you're referring to, and I can't help but think, yeah, even at the end, he was a liar and the truth was not in him. So I doubt for sure that other than just covering his bases or trying to dissuade people from believing that he was, in fact, an architect of so much of that. Yeah, color me skeptical that he believed what he was saying, whether it was then or any other time. Mm-hmm. By the way, while we're talking about people that are gone.
Well, you know,
go ahead.
I would say that he admitted it on his way out is I'm intrigued. I was not a big fan either, but I'm certainly not a fan of multiculturalism, and I'm hoping that his way out, at least we can have a conversation about the complete and total failure of trying to blend and homogenize all of the races and all of the religions of the world into one big happy family, and what an absolute unbiblical and anti-truth ideology that philosophy
is. Well, and if you go back and look at scripture, it's kind of interesting. You will see that there were attempts in from some of the empires in the past to do similar things, usually for different reasons, and maybe they were more upfront about it. As we saw with the captivity of Israel, when the people like Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and others were taken back in captivity. So one of the things that the captors would do was to take the captive nation into slavery. Rome was famous for doing that. There were others as well. And there was this tendency throughout history from some of these empires to do exactly what we're seeing. In other words, to invade the land that they were taking over and move people in there that were not indigenous, and to take the ones that were there out and put them somewhere else. And all of these are control mechanisms that had varying degrees of success, but certainly have been tried throughout history. And I guess to that extent, we're certainly seeing it again. If you just want to destroy a country, what is being done to America, what was done to Germany, what's being done in so much of Northern Europe, is a par for the course.
Yeah, go right ahead. Introduce your new guest.
Well, I was trying to, and I'm trying to get him on. So while we're talking here, I'm going to still send you to see if I can't do that.
While you're doing that, here's an interesting news article from this week. Target hired a gay LGBTQ gay Cruella to head up their marketing.
Oh yes.
As if they didn't learn anything. They didn't learn anything from Bud Light. But this gay Cruella. I mean, the idea that you know what I'm amazed by. I was pondering this morning. How did Alex Huxley and George Orwell? How did they
Aldous?
Know?
Okay.
That we'd ultimately move into a world where up was down and left was right, and the language is completely corrupted to mean the opposite of what we say it means. It's just an amazing thing to live inside a nation where the language is completely corrupted.
Well,
this is how they get away with so much.
I can remember reading stories before I read Orwell, read Robert Heinlein, who talked about semantics and how, in fact, you could use language. That in itself is not a new concept. Orwell did a really great job of laying it out for people so that they could see it. But it's certainly not new to understand that if you control the language, you control the thought. I remember when I was first starting to study Scripture, why I'm a bigger fan of Hebrew than of Greek, because Greek is ultimately a language. Some will say, oh, it's a wonderful scientific language, but it's also a pagan language where there are all kinds of references to foreign deities and theos, right? Any theos is as good as any other theos. And Hebrew essentially is a language that is literally, the thought patterns are tailored to the idea of there is one true God, there are others that are fakes, and there are certain concepts that you can say in one language that you can't say in the other, like serendipity or chance or luck are concepts that are far more Greek than Hebrew. It's difficult to express concepts that are foreign to a language in the language. So I think to the extent that Orwell and others were recognizing that language does shape thought patterns. You know, his contribution was to say this idea of newspeak, let's come up with a new language that they won't even be able to say things that are thought crimes, won't even be able to think them, therefore. And that's kind of fascinating. I'll let you comment, and then I believe we have Dr. Jeff Price-Stupa on with us. Took a while, but I think we finally got him. Let's hear your
I think I finally got us patched in, Mark. Can you hear me?
Yes. Yeah, that's good, Jeff, and welcome. So let me do the introduction. I was waiting until we had you on for sure, we'll interrupt where we were at and come back to that if you got some comments you want to make about language, but then we'll talk about some more other news stories. This is Dr. Jeff Price-Stupa. Some that have listened to Hebrew Nation know that I've had Jeff on at least a couple of other shows over a period of years. Jeff has a background in, well, lots of medicine. I generally just introduce him as a healer because the man has a really great background in any number of aspects of what's going on with the human body, with the things like cancers and with inflammation. And his background, again, is in chiropractic, but I think that would sell him short to say that that's one of the many skills that he brings to the table. Plus, he has been following what's going on in the world for a long time. So welcome, Jeff. Let me just say good morning. How are you doing first?
Well, thank you. It's great to join you. I've been looking forward to doing this show, getting back on the air. Took a bit of a break there. Sure is a lot going on in the world, and I look forward to getting into it with you and David. Is that right, David?
Yeah,
sir. Yes, it is.
So look forward to it, guys. Let's get going. I got some interesting things here. But what you're talking about with language is got to be in terms of how language functions and brain waves, et cetera, in our mind and internal conflicts, et cetera. There's no more important area than language. And so this, what they've done to us and language is a great topic. So let's continue.
Well, and of course.
Well, I was gonna.
Go ahead. Go ahead, David.
I was gonna comment that, you know, language inside first a word can be corrupted, and then once a word's corrupted, you know, metaphors, allegories, ideas that are conveyed through stories, like, you know, it's raining cats and dogs. You know, when the euphemism and the we revert back to a cliche or something like that. And if we're trying to translate that into another language, you know, there's this gestalt breakdown inside the communication. But when you commandeer an entire language and begin to redefine words and try to blend the cultures and blend the different, you know, you end up with the Tower of Babel. And I think that that's what the metaphor of the Tower of Babel is actually about, is that our understanding becomes so confused that we can't understand what each other's saying. And so to live in a nation, to live in a world where when I say they, I refer to the people in power, because that's what they want, is more power, pit us against each other inside of the philosophy of multiculturalism. We get the total breakdown, which justifies their need to use force to force control, which they call order. But it's not order, it's actually force, and it's a control issue. And I think that when we go to the crux of the what is resulting in, or what has caused the breakdown, in relative to the truth. Go ahead, Mark.
Okay, well, you mentioned the Tower of Babel, and I would certainly point out that that is one of the places in Scripture where we see the importance of language and how it's done. It's certainly been something that I had noticed since I first started doing radio. And by the way, Jeff is about in the same time frame. We both started with KHNC, as did our good friend, the late Randy Yarborough, even before we did, back in the early 90s up in northern Colorado. But one of the things I remember noticing then was the words that have had their meaning changed shall not be infringed as one. The word infringed was so important that it was in Webster's dictionary, and they gave some examples. Those are totally lost on people now, because infringement is something that people don't understand. It happens so frequently that we don't even have, for all practical purposes, even remotely, a Second Amendment anymore. So I don't want to get too completely bogged down with the language aspect, because what we're going to do is talk about some other places where it fits. But at least that's a great way to kick things off today. By the way, Jeff, just before you came on, the story that got us here was Tarjay. And I don't think they even deserve that that joke nickname anymore. Essentially the politically correct woke retailer of the porn and pedo crowd has again decided that they're going to rub people's noses in it. The place I would disagree, David, I don't think they failed to learn the lesson of Bud Light. I think they basically said, the hell with the people who think there's a lesson there. We're going to cram it down their throats. What are they going to do about it? Quit coming to our stinking stores? Would it be so? Jeff, why don't you weigh in on that and take us wherever else you'd like.
Well, the battle over language is why they're so active in the schooling. They know that they can shape a young mind, train up a child in a way that he should go, and he won't depart from it. They know that as well. And so they want to train him up to go the other way. And so it begins very early. I think it begins earlier than that, and I think that we make a subconscious mistake. And it's one that we've been making since Eve first committed it, as the story goes, in the garden. Language became the spoken language became the means of deceit in the very beginning. That's what Satan did to Eve. He went beyond what the meaning was to what we think the meaning is. That's a variable that can never be defined. You can never define thought. And to apply thought to rationality is where the entire thing goes askew, because at that point we trade an objective reality, the one apart from us. We insert ourselves into the middle of the narrative and think that's our rightful place, and we become an egocentric being from that point, and we begin to not operate in the real world that exists. We're operating out of the one we are thinking about. And so far, that's what Satan did to take all of mankind away from God, and we've never gotten back, because we're thinking about it. And that's the mistake. We are meant to dwell in the heart. We're not a thinker. We're a companion of God. But we forsake that. We forsake a love relationship with God, and we satisfy ourselves with a hand job from Satan.
Okay.
And there we are.
All right. David, you got any comments on that?
So there's my opening statement. The problem is thought itself.
I'm going to agree, and I'm going to add. This is, you know, of all the subjects that we could talk about, this idea of a corruption of language, a corruption of thought, is at the crux. And
yes,
as Jeff absolutely when he goes to the Garden of Eden and distinguishes, and I want to point something out. Let us not ever forget that Adam fell and Eve fell, because they bought into a lie. And that's how we all fall. Yeshua existed. He came to the planet to say, we've got to reset things. So he comes in the capacity as a second Adam, and he distinguishes truth from the narrative. And in the process of doing it, he exposes the people that were corrupting the language of the day and subjugating people to subjective thought and non-objective reality. And ultimately, that got him killed. That's what prompted him to be murdered, because he was exposing the lies and the facade that had been projected onto the people, which resulted in the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Sanhedrin and Rome being in complete and total control and under the absolute mind control of subjective reality. And it's no different today. We'll fast forward to today. As long as we buy into the hypnosis of the world, the subjective reality that has been imposed upon us, we're buying into the delusion, which is a matter of choice. We can choose to be deluded, or we can choose not to be deluded, as long as we realize that it exists on the planet and come out of denial and realize, no, that's the game on this planet. You can either walk in the truth, or you can walk in a lie, and it really comes down to two trees, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, or the tree of life. But it's always about truth or the lie, Mark. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I'm not sure if I have anything to add to that explicitly. I might have phrased it a bit differently, but I guess in general I don't disagree with certainly the idea of truth or lie, because there's a choice.
Go ahead and phrase it.
Life or death. Well, I usually go to Deuteronomy chapter 3. He says, I have laid before you life and death, blessing and cursing. So I think we're talking the same thing. We have a choice. The choice is between life or death, blessing and cursing, and the truth of the lie.
In him there was no guile, so he could not partake in the thought process of turning one's own sovereignty with God over to anyone or anything. And that was why they said he is subverting the ways of the law, which was an external source. And so, David, I agree with you as we were saying that the ultimate error is in a loss of our true identity. And when we lose that identity, that being, we trade a purpose of existence as being a companion of God, given a representational role of the image of God. We are supposed to be the representatives of the divine creator here on earth, and to be in relationship, in companionship with God. When we give that up, when we forsake that, and that is a decision we make, to leave God and operate on our own thoughts above what is written in the law on our heart, we violate ourselves when we violate God, and we create a subjective, David, to use your word, a subjective reality, and thereby we're lost to God, and therefore we are of Satan. If you're not with God, then you're trying to be God yourself in one way or another, and you're subjected to Satan helping you in your understanding, Oh, Eve, you know, that is a difficult passage, Eve. Let me explain what the writer really means there for you. And there we go. Did God really say? Does that word really mean that? Well, let's look at it in the Greek. Let's look at it in the Hebrew. Let's look at it, and we're lost because it's companionship only that we are here for. We're not here to figure it out. We're not here to improve it. We couldn't break it if we wanted to, you climate change idiots. Right? I mean, we look at language. What percent is carbon dioxide of our atmosphere? What percent? Isn't it 0.04%?
Correct.
And we're arguing over it?
Well, but the point, why? Yeah, that's a slightly different subject, and it's an interesting one. It's certainly one that pays this week. In part, they're doing that because the idea really, let's be honest, the idea is to destroy. The adversary comes but to steal, to kill, and destroy. And that is the whole purpose of this carbon BS. It is to steal, to kill, and destroy. And it's all about controlling something for which, basically, it's a total farce. I like to talk about the science or the lack thereof because, as you point out, it's everything about the carbon BS, the carbon footprint, and how it must be that we're going to use that to control you is a bald-faced lie. It is patently on its face absurd because these things, as it turns out, if you actually look at the numbers, you look at the data, it doesn't have the effect on climate. There are other things that do, like the sun, for example. They ignore those. So on every front, that's a good example, I guess, of just how people have been dumbed down to the point where they don't even not only understand the meaning of the language, you know, sometimes mathematics is a language too. They don't know how to do simple math and recognize when they're being lied to.
You know, for example, it might be a little bit tangential, but China this week announced two really important breakthroughs. One, that they've almost got the artificial sun finished. And number two, they're going to be rolling out their human robot machine by 2025.
Yeah, I saw that.
Make human bots. So this, but you know, my hand goes up in the back of the room, and teacher rolls her eyes and goes, "Yes, Jeff." And I say, "Can I ask a question? If climate change is the number one issue in the whole Earth, how come we need a second sun? How come we need an artificial sun? And secondly, if overpopulation is a major factor, how come we need a robot machine?"
Well, because the robot machine will replace the people that they intend to kill. That one's easy. We got to get rid of
people. All right, you got that one. All right, I'll give you that one.
Well,
it really, I know we're coming up on the break.
Yeah.
It really comes down to the need to control, and they only can control the narrative. They can't control the truth. You can't control. You can't rule. And so the answer to the question, Jeff, is if your teacher would tell the truth, is control, and then we'd have a whole nother conversation. But the truth is never told because the truth corrupts the lie. The truth is what sets us free.
Yes.
Came to bring the truth, the way, the truth, and it's only by the truth and the whole truth. And one more thing on the way out, we are one with the Father. It's more than representation. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is one.
Yes.
And so understanding the one that is our Father who is in us and through us and in him we live and move and have our being, understanding that oneness is what's missing. Go ahead.
All right, well, we're going to do is going to go to the break. We'll pick it up somewhere in that when we get back. We are back, folks, for the second segment of Drive Time Friday today. Let's see, where did we end up? We interrupted somebody? I'm not sure. There was much discussion going on. David, why don't you? Who did we interrupt? I forget.
We were discussing languages and language and how corrupting the language is a key factor in corrupting a nation. And then we were also, we prompted by the conversation of multiculturalism and diversity and using the breakdown in the languages against us so that a global conspiracy of control can have more control. And it's all about money, power, and control. Anyway, go ahead, Mark.
Okay. So, Jeff, did you have another story you wanted to interject here at this point?
Well, yeah, just some relevant stuff about current events, vaccines, et cetera, the ongoing drama there, what we're looking at being visited upon us again. I think people have heard these things. Here is just a report. This is nanoparticles released to cause sickness, brain strokes. A military insider gives urgent emergency warning. They just released it. A military insider has given an urgent emergency warning that nanoparticles are being released that are potentially being linked to sicknesses and diseases, potentially even strokes, according to a Dr. Giordano, professor of neurology at Georgetown and executive director of biodefense research in D.C. They said they've been working on this Havana syndrome issue since 2017.
Okay, so I've heard about several different Havana syndromes. One of them dates way back to when they were basically using short wavelengths and other kinds of radiation to bombard people there in Havana. But I don't think you're talking about the same thing, right?
No, I don't. I believe that this is one of those projects and programs that they may have named in Havana or one, again, their code name for it. But maybe you heard it as I did. We had family members who were unable to attend Thanksgiving suddenly with headaches or nausea with apparently no good reason. It wasn't any, lifestyle thing or any, and it seemed to strike a little bit randomly. But did maybe anybody else notice that? But we're hearing and this white lung thing.
Yeah, that's another one we need to mention here.
I wonder, I looked at the patent. Anyone can go just type in chemtrails plus patent and hit enter and read what's in this stuff. And I understand that they've changed it again and that it's almost like there's a depopulation program afoot.
You think?
With multiple vectors, one would imagine. You could imagine that. Here we go. RFK asked Anthony Fauci which of the 72 vaccines had been subject to a safety test. Fauci refused to show evidence, so RFK sued him, and after a full year of stonewalling, Fauci finally admitted not one single vaccine was subjected to a safety test.
Surprise, yeah.
Not one. And McCulloch revealed four things about the COVID vaccines. This is Dr. Peter McCulloch. One, cardiovascular heart inflammation, myocarditis, cardiac arrest. Two, neurologic, all forms of stroke, Guillain-Barré, neuropathies. Three, blood clotting like we've never seen in medicine before. That's in quotes. Don't know who they're quoting. And they don't respond to a typical blood thinner. A disaster. These are all in quotes. Must be one of the doctors speaking. And number four, immune system abnormalities. Suppressed immune systems, autoimmune diseases. Well, we know that you'll test positive for HIV post-vaccination.
Well, because there are HIV proteins, among other things, in the spike protein that were grafted in there.
Yeah, they used a bait and switch during the testing. The COVID vaccine that was injected into billions of arms was not the same one that was used in the clinical trials. They won't tell you that the vials are contaminated with plasmid DNA.
Well, and over the years, there have been reports. SV40 is another one that they're contaminated with. I guess the thing about this that is kind of murky to a lot of folks, Jeff, and as a fellow with a background not in medicine but in engineering and experiment design and those kind of things, it struck me that what they were doing here by releasing so many different variants of the vaccine, you know, the fact that it's illegal and completely at odds with everything that would have once been called medical ethics didn't stop them. But what they did is they released all kinds of different vaccines, injected people with different things so that they could essentially run a huge experiment on a global population and say, oh, look how many things we can do at once. So there's all kinds of stuff. It seems like every time we turn around, we're finding, oh, there was this, there was that, there was the other thing. Not each of them in all of them, but different things in a number of the different doses that they were subjecting the guinea pigs to. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yes, well, Mark, that is such a broad subject, the vaccination issue, and it's really deep, and maybe we should do just a show on that. But the idea that they're going to continue to utilize vaccination, which is a depopulation vector, one of the things that we're not being allowed to be sensitive to is an obvious fact that toxicity has replaced infection. People are getting sick by a completely new mechanism than in all of the history of medicine, which was infection. The greatest danger before public service cleaned up our water and we got refrigeration were small critters in our food that would try to get inside and eat us. So we had to not allow that to happen. But that was an infectious vector. That made people sick. This new disease is one. The new diseases are all brought on by chemicals that are not alive. They don't produce fevers like like the old days, but they produce inflammation in the cell instead. And so toxicity, having replaced infection, now is unseen, unrecognized. When it causes problems at the cell level, then the organ, gland, and tissue level, it's not recognized as toxicity. It's blamed on, ready, viruses, which don't exist.
Okay.
You can't show me one.
Well, that's going to...
If anybody should have seen a virus, I should have seen a virus. Everyone admits we've never seen one. They're all mathematical, computerized models based on Al Gore's assumptions.
You're right. That's driving, another whole subject as well. But it's
driving everything. And so that is so huge. That is such a huge issue that unpacking that and breaking it down is very difficult. And makes us want to look at what the real problem is, and that is that what David and we were talking about before, the language now prevents inquiry because you get labeled now. When you start down the verboten pathways, you get labeled and immediately invalidated from seeking correctly. So with all that background, the only thing that we can really do to that is to stop for a minute and get back into a centered relationship with our God and take a break. Just take a Sabbath. Give yourself a moment to get your bearings in a world that we suddenly realize is completely under the control of our adversary in every way you can imagine. We are living on a prison planet run by a cruel, evil, perhaps non-human beast of a lord. And that's where we are.
Okay.
And that, I think, is the major background issue for us right now, is we're emerging from this. God is winning. And we are being able to watch evil being wiped off the planet as the adrenochrome blood consumers are exposed and eliminated. What are we going to build now? Starting now, as we scrape the damage, there might be more war. But still, there's been a small cloud identified off in the distance, and it's coming. And those people of God can feel it. We can feel the awakening in our hearts, and optimism and the light of God is beginning to swell up within us again, and it needs to. It really needs to. We need to allow God to work through us in maybe a new way. It might be new wineskin, but we just have to let ourselves go, and as we say for a long, long time, let God. If it costs us our lives to do God's will, that's not news. That's all I got. I'm going to stop right there.
Okay.
Because we've got to be encouraged through all this, and I don't want to lose our encouragement and our it's dawning for us right now.
Well,
and we can feel it. It's coming, and it's pregnant, very, very, in the labor pains.
And right with now. With all of the things that are going on, Jeff, I don't want to obscure one other thing that you touched on. It we touched on so many things there. I think there is a tendency of people to say, "Wow, you know, with all the medical stuff, it's a bit overwhelming to understand how many ways are they hitting us." Yeah, we can and should always turn back to Scripture and recognize that when we're overwhelmed and we don't know what to do, we know we can trust in Him. He promises no weapon formed against us will prosper, provided, of course, that we're obedient and we try to walk in obedience to Him. You know, if you're eating crap that's not food and destroying your immune system, and then bad things happen to you, well, I guess maybe we shouldn't be surprised. But the thing that I wanted to focus on just for a minute, you mentioned the white lung syndrome, and we had the Havana syndrome in there too. There are two things that I think are important for people to step back and try to understand right now. One, there are a whole lot of people that have already died. There are people that have destroyed their immune systems. They'll never bear children. And it's not just that they're cutting their genitalia off. They're destroying their fertility as well by the injections and by all the things that are being done to them. And as people are dying, well, what do we got? We have these new things that are being trotted out. You mentioned the doctor that had indicated that you know, there are all these additional threats out there, and I couldn't help but think, I don't know the doctor, I don't know whether you trust him, and you have a better understanding of the medical issues than I do there, but my first reaction is, well, isn't it convenient that we come out with all these other new things so that when people die, they can say, oh, it wasn't the poison, it wasn't the Fauci flu, it wasn't the bioweapon, it was this new thing. Now it's white lung syndrome. So part of me wants to say, remember, there are a whole lot of people that are already in the process of dying. They're going to continue dying. We already have huge excessive deaths among all-cause mortalities. And so they need to cover that up. So that's part A. Part B, they're getting ready to release the next step of the bioweapon. Got to have people very afraid of what? White lung syndrome. And now kids are dying. Oh, the same kids that we vaccinated? Well, we don't want to talk about that. We're not going to let you publish those statistics. So on those two fronts, let me focus there for a second. If I can get your opinion, because I think we are seeing a kind of a double whammy. One, don't be fooled that the new stuff isn't anything other than, maybe to cover up the people that are already going to die, but also to get you to go back and resubject yourself to the same kind of crap that killed so many people in the first place. So go ahead and see if we can't kind of cut through some of that, Jeff, and give folks some practical understanding of not just the explicitly scriptural, but the things that we need to be able to say, hey, what can we do about it now, especially if we're dealing with family and friends that haven't quite figured it out yet.
Mark, it's a very difficult issue. We're hearing from doctors who are doing live cell microscopy, which I think right now is a really good test, everybody. It's cheap. And you look at the blood. You sit right there next to the doctor or the technician, and you put your blood up on the scope, and you take a look at it. The perplexing and dangerous aspect that we're seeing is that people who have not been vaccinated are beginning to show the same small active nanoparticles in their blood as those who have been vaccinated.
That is a vital point.
So is that you're spraying, are they spraying it from the sky? Is it in the water? We're learning that these things are so small. They're being put in food. They're being put in medicines. I mean, this whole nanoparticle technology, because of its sheer diminutive size, it is so small. It can move about so freely among dimensions. A cell membrane means nothing to a nanoparticle. You don't get to perform any barrier of defense against these things. So that's one of the aspects. the vaccination process itself is, in my opinion, flawed in that we've never shown a reason for the entire field. Now, wait, by that I mean we've never had any study anywhere that has shown that the human immune system wasn't working. We've never seen a study of any kind that showed that the immune system was getting weaker in its ability to protect the human. We've got no evidence whatsoever that the foundational premise of the immune system and how it works has been in any way impaired, other than being poisoned like everything else that is waterborne. But apart from that, our immune system has never been shown to have failed to protect the human, with the exception, asterisk, perhaps, of AIDS, which is acquired.
It's thank you,
acquired
Tony Fauci.
Immune deficiency. It's not a natural thing. So that's one aspect. So vaccines are given because why? There's no need for them. And further, we break medical ethics when we treat somebody who isn't sick. A person who you're giving a vaccine to is a healthy individual. Why are you treating them for a disease? They don't have it.
Yeah.
They require no treatment. So you break medical ethics by giving a healthy person an injection of really any kind. One might argue, what about vitamin B12? Let's not. You might as well. It's like asking, what about giving the diabetic insulin? Let's use common sense here. Of course you do. Of course you. But that is not what has become drug-seeking behavior. All of our entire healthcare system, by the corrupt influence of modern pharmakia, has turned healthcare into drug-seeking behavior. That's what people want, whether it's Jane Fonda doing the joke with Lily Tomlin about that's what Americans do. They take drugs. But yes. And so with that background, again, we're going to be looking for safer drugs, better drugs. We're never going to question whether they're needed or not, and they're not.
Okay.
There's no weakness. There's no deficiency to address. So why take any vaccine? I don't know. It doesn't make any sense to me. Since I heard our family doctor tell my mother in 1957, when the vaccine thing was just starting to roll out, my mom asked Dr. Maloney about vaccines. He said, well, you know, Carol, it doesn't make sense to me to inject disease into healthy kids.
Yeah. All right. We got just a couple of minutes.
1957.
Yep. There's so much more we could say on that, Jeff, and I want to try to leave folks with a couple of just warnings. Again, one of them is, as you pointed out, there is so much smoke. There is so much stuff that people are being fed, and ultimately the intent is to deceive them and to kill them, to try to get them to do things that otherwise they would know better than
yes.
to do, and destroy their bodies, their immune systems, their fertility, you name it. David, we got less than about a minute and a half. You got anything you want to weigh in here on any of that? There was quite a bit on the table.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to, again, go right to the crux of it. The people who want power and control, need us to be afraid of something. They create enemies, and they keep us under hypnosis. They keep us deluded. They keep us in a state of absolute powerful delusion that we have the choice to buy into or not. What's missing in our world is asking questions. You know, Yeshua demonstrated the power of a question. So rather than making statements and thinking that we got it all together, I think it's better to come in, you know, and raise our hand and ask the teacher, well, why? And be that irritating individual who doesn't settle for the BS answer, but really wants to know the truth. And we use the question as a means to the end of ferreting out the truth. And every circumstance we find ourselves in, if we look at the objective to awaken people, to bring people out of the delusion, the best way to do it is by asking a question. Go ahead, Mark, take us out.
Okay.
I just want to agree with
go ahead.
I just want to agree with David 100%. That was well said, David. I agree so much.
All right. Well, Jeff, it's been good to have you with us. We've got about 50 seconds. There's so much, again, that we should be able to talk about, and unfortunately we ran out of time. With all of the stuff that's going on, with all of the deception that's out there, when it comes to things that people can take action, you got about 30 seconds. What should we do right now as you're seeing all the fear? Oh, they introduced a new Ebola vax, and they're ejecting people in Denver. Isn't that wonderful? So what do average people that are not sure what's going on take from that? Take us out, Jeff.
Well, I would just tell everybody that do what we can do right now, and I would say to fix our relationships with each other. Let's do some relationship repairing, strengthen ourselves in the inner parts. Like David said, ask some really good questions and just pause. It's getting really fast. And just take some time and ring God up again and spend some time in prayer. And
all right.
Just listen.
And Shabbat Shalom, folks. Hey, thanks, guys.